This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Cedarside. Cedarside's original 100% organic insect spray kills bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more, but is completely safe for your home, pets, and family. Go to cedarside.com, use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping, or call 800-842-1464 and mention you heard it here. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to take you to the fringes of research on new products in the field of natural medicine. You know, we're always searching for that new coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol, something which revolutionizes our practice of nutritional medicine. And today we're going to talk to the co-founder and chief executive officer of a very innovative company called Chromadex, which is pioneering the introduction of some very, very interesting new nutraceuticals. Today we're going to focus on something called nicotinamide riboside. It's also called a Niagen, or brand name Niacel. And we'll also talk about tirostilbene. Tirostilbene is a nutritional supplement that's kind of, you know, if we talk about the solar system, we talk about the planets, the major planets, Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter. Tirostilbene and Niacel are probably out there in the outer limits, you know, maybe Neptune or Uranus, towards the outer limits of our known solar system. Nonetheless, potentially important. And perhaps in the future we'll assume greater importance in our repertoire of natural compounds. So today we're going to talk to Frank Jaksch. He's co-founder and chief executive officer of Chromadex. Chromadex is a very large ingredient company. In a moment we're going to explain what that is. But to me, these ingredient companies, and there are a few of them, pioneer the discovery and purification and standardization of very, very interesting compounds. Sometimes they're botanically derived compounds, things like curcumin, things like resveratrol, and sometimes they're akin to vitamins. Niacel, or nicotinamide riboside, is actually a variant of vitamin B3. We'll get into that momentarily. And tirostilbene is a natural product that is found in fruits with some very, very interesting properties, that may make it as important ultimately as resveratrol, which certainly has made a big splash in the nutraceutical marketplace. So without further ado, here's our guest, Frank Jaksch. It's nice having you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So tell us, first of all, a little bit about your background. What is Chromadex?
So my background is chemistry. I'm an analytical chemist in background, not actually a business guy, but my background was mainly in the area of early-stage drug discovery, mainly related to high-throughput screening or high-throughput screening-related technology. And came up with the idea for Chromadex back in the late 90s and started the company about 16 years ago. And the company was built up on a platform of a natural products chemistry service company. And we have sort of three pieces of that business that we've been operating for the past 15, 16 years now. And we developed our reputation largely as more of a very qualified natural products chemistry outfit that, you know, we did services essentially for, you know, $250 test for a small dietary supplement company all the way up to, you know, $1 million project for a very large company trying to nail down some natural products chemistry project. And about 5 years ago, we started down the path of what's a fairly unique business model. We leverage information coming from our business, primarily university, our interest in university research. And so we get a very early glance at what's going on at the university level. And we get to follow some pretty cool stuff at a very early stage, and then when it looks like it's really proving itself out, we jump in and then license the technology and then use it to as the platform to essentially roll out the novel ingredients. And all the ingredients that we've had over the past 5 years that we've launched came to us through that,
model. What are some of the ingredients that supplied as supplement manufacturers that our listeners might already be acquainted with?
So we've gotten quite a bit of traction already with our TerraStill bean, which was the first ingredient that we rolled out based on patents we licensed from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. TerraStill bean is similar to but different to resveratrol. So it's found in blueberries primarily, so it's a berry source. But data coming out of USDA showed very early stage that there were advantages with TerraStill bean as comparison to resveratrol, and that's how we got focused on that. But TerraStill bean was the first ingredient that we rolled out. The second one after that was an ingredient called Pro-C3G, which is an anthocyanin. We launched that a few years ago, and we're having another variation of that.
Is that sort of a concentrate of the good stuff found in grapeseed?
Sort of. The Pro-C3G is actually a black. It comes from black rice.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using black rice hull to concentrate one specific anthocyanin called cyanidin-3-glucoside. So we launched that one, and now we have a second anthocyanin that we're launching as a collaboration with a company called Suntava, who have found a way to create purple corn hybrids. They've got, and they're non-GMO, purple corn hybrids that express incredible high amounts of anthocyanins. And we're in the process of, we just had our first purple corn harvest a couple weeks ago, actually, and we're in the process now of moving that into extraction, and we're going to be launching a very, very high concentration anthocyanin material that we plan on taking to the clinic.
Well, I do like blue. I do like my blue corn chips. So maybe this is a supplement for that. You know, concentrating those beneficial ingredients.
That's exactly it. I mean, look, I'm a big believer in anthocyanins and the health benefits of anthocyanins, because most pigmented fruits and the health benefits from those fruits come from these anthocyanins. The problem with anthocyanins, from a we'll call it an ingredient or a supplement fortification standpoint, is that those berry biomasses are very expensive, and they're very, very cost prohibitive. If you concentrate the stuff down into highly concentrated material, it's just too expensive.
So in other words, it would take like kilos of berries to create a bottle of pills.
So on average, to make a really highly concentrated berry extract, if you use blueberry as an example, okay, you would have to concentrate it down about 100 to 1. Mm-hmm. So meaning 100 pounds of blueberries would become 1 pound of extract.
Right.
And, imagine if you went to the store and bought 100 pounds of blueberries, what it
would cost. Yeah, right. It's buying a few ounces of blueberries is almost cost prohibitive for me these days. 4 ounces runs about $4.99 here in New York. So
that's right.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So we've been on a quest of basically trying to find alternative means of making highly concentrated anthocyanins that can be used to fortify everything from foods, beverages, to supplements. And we think we've cracked the code on that, and we have what was hopefully now going to be coming a very highly concentrated material that's going to be a game changer from a cost perspective in providing these incredibly health beneficial sets of compounds that haven't really even been exploited in full, I would say, at the clinic, because there just haven't been really good, highly concentrated ingredient technologies that were capable of even really being brought to the clinic. And we're aiming to change that with that. But
well, it's interesting how the supplement industry has developed, because when I started my career in this industry, which was in the 1980s, early 1980s, the way that you got these concentrates was basically you got sort of dehydrated whatever. It would be, you'd take herbs. And, I mean, at first it was you'd make an herbal tea. You'd take it, decoct an herbal tea, and then you get whatever benefits of the herbal plant. And then they got this idea, well, you freeze dry the stuff and you put it in a capsule. Okay, that's maybe one step better, more concentrated. And what the way that it's evolved is that there are a few big companies like yours, you know, maybe, you know, a handful, who are specialists in concentrating and synthesizing these ultra pure ingredients, which are a derivative of the plant. But it's not like you got, you know, ground up plant in a capsule. You've got the concentrated ingredient. Is that sort of what's happening?
Oh, yeah. You have to highly concentrate it. It's not ground up plant. And you're never going to be able to deliver anything truly consistent with just ground up plant. There's too much variability, even from, you know, one growing batch to another, from one growing area to another. There's variability. So you need to be able to essentially standardize these things. And the best way to do that is through concentration. And anthocyanins, it takes a lot of anthocyanin to deliver health benefit. And you would have to eat way too much fruit in order to deliver the type of benefit we can deliver in, say, 250 to 500 milligrams of concentrated material. So,
And the key here is standardization, because I think one of the criticisms of the natural products movement is they say, well, you know, you don't know what you're getting. You know, at least with a drug, you know, you buy, say, a Lipitor, and it's, you know, 20 milligrams of Lipitor. You know it's 20 milligrams of Lipitor because it's very, you know, carefully you know, assayed and controlled.
Right.
And your, I guess your background in the pharmaceutical industry helps you apply some of those standards to the natural products industry.
Without a doubt. I mean, we're taking that to the nth degree. And we're designing something that we can, without a doubt, control within certain degree of quality tolerances. That stuff, that we're building that in, and we know how to do that. And but, you know, anthocyanins are just one other thing that I think is underrepresented. I think that, you know, the carotenoids, as an example, are fairly well represented. It's a multi-billion-dollar market, the carotenoid market, from beta-carotene to lycopene,
right.
Zeaxanthin. Okay, there's the health benefit, and those are plant pigments as well. And it's a different class of compound, but the anthocyanin market lies largely untapped, and I think is the next sort of big space, I would say, in the health beneficial plant pigment market is the anthocyanin market. And we just need to crack the code, and I think we've done that at least now. But
we'll get into that. But the product that I really want to feature that's attracting a lot of interest, just recently introduced in the Science is New, it's nicotinamide riboside. And so tell us a little bit about that compound. What's that about?
So nicotinamide riboside is, there's a lot of benefits to this compound, and there's a lot of sort of pieces to the story that have really been coming together from a biochemistry side of things over the past few years in particular. And I'll tell you a little bit more about this FASB experimental biology show I was at in Germany a couple weeks ago.
FASEB, that's like where all the great scientists get together, you know, the advanced researchers, and it's not just about vitamins and nutraceuticals and supplements, it's all about science.
It's all about science. It's mostly researchers, but there's a lot of pharmaceutical guys there too, believe it or not. And so nicotinamide riboside is essentially a vitamin metabolite. It's a vitamin B3 related metabolite related to niacin or niacinamide. And so, but this one, in this, it has several advantages over those two. And it's an existing human metabolite, meaning you have, even if you've never taken our nicotinamide riboside, you have nicotinamide riboside in your blood.
Which is good to know, because, you know, if it was like a totally artificial compound like many drugs, you know, we don't have Viagra in our bloodstream, and we don't have Zoloft in our bloodstream. These are artificial designer compounds. So, you know,
right.
I think you got to admit that there could be potential toxicity to anything, but at least something that already is present to some degree in the body is less likely to have adverse side effects, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's an existing part of your energy metabolism pathway to cellular level. And so you're not, like you said before, like pterostilbene or resveratrol, there's no circulation. You don't have an existing metabolism for pterostilbene or for resveratrol. Not to say that there's any benefit, but it's a stronger case when you can build in, and that's the core sort of nutrient need story. Okay, this is something that, you know, even 10 years ago, that how nicotinamide riboside plugged into that pathway wasn't what I'll call very well understood. And Charlie Brenner, who was at Dartmouth at the time, now at Iowa, was the one who sort of cracked the code on this compound, nicotinamide riboside, and how it plugged into the salvage pathway for NAD production. And that's the real meat. I mean, in reality, what nicotinamide riboside does, and it does better than anything else, is that it's a highly effective NAD precursor.
Okay, so and now you need to explain to our listeners what is NAD.
NAD is nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, and NAD is your core currency in terms of energy production. Ultimately, you don't get production of ATP without NAD. And dysfunction within production of NAD is fairly well known, because you have this, you have two different forms of respiration at the cell level. One is aerobic respiration, which is where you want to be, and you have anaerobic respiration. And aerobic respiration is a much more efficient mechanism for utilizing NAD to produce ATP. And anaerobic respiration is, you know, typically where you hear about athletes, for instance, that are stressing their body so far that they force themselves into anaerobic respiration, which, of course, produces lactic acid as a byproduct, but it's a very inefficient mechanism of producing ATP through NAD. But without NAD, by the way, the wheels fall off that process.
So what are some of the conditions, theoretically, that might arise if you have inadequate NAD production? This all happens, by the way, in the mitochondria, in the cell, in the powerhouse of the cell.
That's correct. Well, it happens outside of the mitochondria as well, but you also have a direct link between that same process in the mitochondria as well. And as a matter of fact, the communication between the cell and the mitochondria, the currency of communication, is NAD. And sometimes, you know, if that goes off, then it actually causes energy metabolism dysfunction between the two, and that's something that's been recently published as well. But in reality, there's a salvage pathway that's part of what is known as the Krebs citric acid pathway. And through the de novo path, that's how you produce NAD through the regular Krebs metabolism. And if things go wrong, it doesn't produce ATP efficiently. Now, here's where I'll draw a link to the whole aging process. Because in reality, nicotinamide riboside and NAD precursors are going to really revolutionize the entire concept of nutrition for aging. And that's where we see things going. As you age, your NAD levels are basically a straight line decline. So as you age, you're going to become less efficient at production of NAD. Your NAD levels will drop, and your whole energy metabolism will be affected as a result of that, including the mitochondria. Our performance, both the population of mitochondria and the performance of mitochondria, are also affected by that. Certain age-related diseases also exacerbate NAD or cause NAD depletion. Okay, take obesity. Obesity, as you become more obese, you're going to become more NAD depleted. As you become more NAD depleted, it's going to force other problems to happen along with that. Another link is that for diabetes, if you take diabetics. Diabetes causes NAD depletion. The further the disease progresses, the more you're going to deplete NAD. As a matter of fact, sort of the major side effect that really shows that you're truly, really majorly NAD depleted is diabetic-induced neuropathy. Mm-hmm. The neuropathy from diabetic-induced neuropathy is actually caused by NAD depletion. If you push levels of NAD back up, you can actually get the neuropathy to subside.
It's actually been said of diabetes that it's not a sugar disease, that it's actually a mitochondrial disease. It's a disease of inefficient metabolism.
And the disease itself causes NAD depletion, and as the depletion gets worse, that energy metabolism dysfunction causes the disease to accelerate. There's another link to that as well, and this is, again, there's reference published studies, so all of these, but the neurodegenerative side is also a part of that. So if you look at neurological disorders or neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, you'll find that, and there was a publication that came out from Scripps, and there was also another publication that came out from Washington University just over the past 6 months. And both of them essentially identified NAD as the critical cell death trigger for neurological disorders. So the neurological disorder, say Alzheimer's, causes NAD depletion. And then that helps the disease actually progress. As the disease progresses, it causes additional NAD depletion.
I recall, Frank, that about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, this was a product that was highly touted by the late Dr. Robert Atkins. It was a product called Enada. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it was an NADH product,
right.
Nicotine adenine di, dinucleotide.
It's the reduced NAD.
Right, and it was thought that by taking that orally, that could help patients with Parkinson's disease. It was actually sort of billed as a treatment for Parkinson's. And so the question, eventually was, okay, great, it is an essential compound, biochemically it fits, but how is that different than nicotinamide riboside?
Well, in reality, you don't want to take NADH because it's going to, from an equilibrium standpoint, it's going to not deliver on what you want to do, which is to raise NAD+. By taking NADH, it's actually going to deliver the opposite effect.
Okay.
And there's data out there now that suggests that. So NADH is not going to really do anything for your metabolism from an energy metabolism standpoint. As a matter of fact, it could push you the wrong direction.
Yeah, and I have to say that product, in my experience, was not very efficacious. And ultimately, I think I'm not even sure it's even on the market anymore. So this is another way to target what that was supposed to have targeted, but in a way that it's more of a precursor to NADH production.
So this salvage pathway is a very efficient little secondary loop that's now been fairly well proven out over the past, 5 to 10 years. And nicotinamide riboside is essentially, there's niacinamide, by the way, also participates in this salvage pathway loop, but it's dependent upon a specific enzyme called NAMPT, and NAMPT is a rate-limiting enzyme, so the production of energy in the form of NAD through that path is limited to the amount of NAMPT that you have. In certain problems or diseases will actually cause low NAMPT. Nicotinamide riboside circumvents the NAMPT enzyme. So it really, you can keep feeding NR, and it will very efficiently continue to produce NAD.
So the argument might be, like, why get a fancy product like nicotinamide riboside? Why don't you just take ordinary vitamin B3, either in the niacin form, or if you don't want flushing, just take niacinamide, which is dirt cheap. And you're saying that just won't do the job.
Well, niacin is probably the worst of the performers in terms of production because it has to go through the full de novo pathway. It doesn't participate in the salvage pathway. And niacinamide has already been fairly well proven that it is nowhere near as effective as something that circumvents a few steps up. And actually, niacinamide, if you have an abundance of niacinamide, it actually inhibits that process.
Okay. So this is uniquely capable of replenishing your endogenous production of NADH, which is critical for all cell function.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's a highly effective way of upregulating production of NADH. It's a very effective NAD precursor. And a lot of this is very new. You just need to keep in mind that there's a ton of published research out there. A lot of it has come out over even just the past couple of years. And there's a lot more that's going to be publishing as well over the next, at least the next, I would say, 12 to 24 months as well, that's going to continue to substantiate the effectiveness of nicotinamide riboside as a highly effective NAD precursor. And we've proven that now in our first human study, and we're about to start our second human study to basically take it a step further.
Great. Okay, we want to hear about that, but we generally divide our podcast into two parts, as many of our listeners know. So what we're going to do is ask our listeners to go to part two, and we'll continue on the subject of nicotinamide riboside. Where's the beef? What do the studies say? Can it work in humans, not just theoretically? Our guest is Frank Jaksch. He is the CEO and founder of Chromadex, which is an ingredient manufacturer, and they've got some very interesting new products in the pipeline. We'll also talk in part two about tirastilbene, which some people have compared to resveratrol as a potent anti-aging compound. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.